In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isaiah saw the reality that this 12-year-old boy is, in fact, he who sits high and exalted upon God's glorious throne, worshipped and adored by the legions of holy angels. He who dwelt in the Holy of Holies upon the mercy seat, in the cloud of the presence, now sits among the teachers, teaching and examining them. No doubt their hearts burn within them, much like the Emmaus disciples later would. The priests gather around their seated God to receive wisdom undefiled from God incarnate. See in this that Jesus, already at 12 years old, leaves the company of his mother for that of sinful men, for those who will one day conspire his death, to dispel the shadows of the law by his presence and word, to fulfill the will and command of his Father. He goes in quest of souls that need enlightening. He's devoted to you. So also see that all heresy and false doctrine comes from trying to force Jesus to be where you think he should be. And he should act as you expect and demand, only in ways that make sense to you. That his proclamation should conform to your reason. For some, it's that since you can't be in two places at once, it doesn't make sense that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father and yet present in his body and blood at this altar and throughout all Christendom. You can't see, smell, or taste flesh and blood in the Holy Communion. It's easier to say that Jesus is only at the Father's right hand, that what you eat and drink is only bread and wine in a symbolic manner. For others, it's that they don't physically see the outpouring of the Spirit or the washing away of sins in holy baptism. They don't believe the words spoken by the pastor in holy absolution, since he's just a man. They call baptism an outward show of obedience, and the absolution unnecessary. They say it doesn't actually do anything. And still others think themselves unworthy of Christ, the King of heaven and earth. They don't understand how he should hear or answer their prayers. So they seek after gimmicks and fads. They think if they pray in just the right way, with just the right words, in just a long enough prayer, they'll trick God into giving them what is their heart's desire. They would do well to learn the words to the introduction to the Our Father in the Small Catechism. But most simply, maybe you expect Jesus to make your life easier. That you shouldn't have to suffer or be sad, as every question and doubt you have is answered when and as you expect to your complete satisfaction. That your bills should be paid easily, and it not be a struggle to make ends meet. That your wife and children should love you perfectly, and your job be a great joy. That you be the envy of your family, your neighborhood, workplace, or even church. And when Jesus isn't found where you think he should be, when things don't work out how you expect, doubt and unbelief take hold. No matter how you try to justify it, no matter how you try to dress it up, to expect Jesus to be where you think he should is to not believe the Scriptures. Yes, God's Word interferes with your way of life and with what you want to do, but you do not know better than God. If you want to go your own way, fine. Jesus won't force himself upon you. But neither will he follow you into perversion and other great shame and vice. You won't find him as you neglect and fail your vocation. Repent. Jesus has not come to make your life easier. He hasn't come to fill your bank account or make your business successful. He comes to be the sacrifice for you and for your sins. Jesus comes to reconcile you to his Father and make you holy. Jesus comes for his flesh to be pierced and his blood poured out. And this is necessary. That's the problem with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph. They know who Jesus is, but that doesn't mean they always get it or fully understand it. They're too caught up in themselves and so expect Jesus to be where they are instead of them being where he is. So where is he? He's in the city of peace, in the temple, at the time of the Passover. Jesus is among the paschal lambs in the place of sacrifice, blood, and forgiveness. He's in the midst of the altar, the candlesticks, the priests, sacrifices, and the mercy seat. He sees the vestments, hears and chants the psalms, and participates in the ceremonies. He himself sits. And this is the position of authority and respect. He sits among the doctors and teachers of Israel. Jesus is where it is necessary that he be. And note that our common English translations miss the mark. It's not, I must be about my Father's business, or I must be in my Father's house. Rather, Jesus literally asks, did you not know it is necessary for me to be among or to be with the things of my Father? This is prophecy. It is necessary is how Jesus announces the necessity of his passion, death, and resurrection. The common translation simply misses this nuance and failed to connect this saying with the predictions of the passion. Connections that need to be made, both for Mary and for you. Thus, Jesus questions his mother, as he once questioned Adam in the garden, and as he was currently questioning the teachers. It's not that he doesn't know why Mary and Joseph were looking for him, where Adam was or what he had done, or the things concerning himself in the scriptures. Jesus asks to elicit a confession. And as he does for you even now, Jesus places the right confession upon his mother's lips. He tells her that it is necessary for him to be among the things of his Father. For not only is he one of them, but he is their fulfillment and their completion. He is the one who reconciles God and man, who cleanses sinners into pure and holy saints. Where else could he be? For Jesus is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world by his own blood. He's the true high priest who offers the great and final sacrifice of himself upon the altar of the Holy Cross and sprinkles the blood of reconciliation upon you from his cruciform mercy seat. He's the incense ground down by your sins on the cross, laid upon the coals of hell's fire in his Father's wrath, that the pleasing fragrance of his perfection, holiness, and righteousness would ascend to God on your behalf. He's the divine doctor and teacher of the new and true Israel, who instructs you by his word. The true and living temple, made without hands. He's torn down, yet raised again after 3 days. Just as he was found again by Saint Joseph and the Blessed Virgin after 3 days. That the favor of God might rest upon you. By the offering of himself once for all, and the shedding of his blood, your divine priest, Jesus Christ, cleanses you. He restores you to fellowship with his Father, and grants you safe, gracious, and sure access to him through his flesh. The true and living temple, Jesus now makes you the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Father hears and delights in your prayers made in his Son through the Holy Spirit. see in all of this then that the triune God is a God of order, who loves liturgy and ceremony. The eternal Son is the preeminent liturgist before the throne of his Father. He is here in this place, preparing you for what you shall do there in eternity. For there you will join your voice with the myriad hosts and the great multitude, in chanting hymns and psalms in melodies more beautiful than the finest Gregorian chants. You'll see the Lamb who was slain high and lifted up, robed in vestments wrought in the sun as in gold. You'll smell the sweetest incense billowing from the bowls of the holy angels. Consider Jesus' very life and yours in him, in light of liturgy and ceremony. He carries the cross in procession to the place of sacrifice and mounts its gibbet as the exalted and high king. He's elevated upon the clouds as men are drawn to him and bend the knee in worship and adoration. The cherubim and seraphim chant psalms and hymns of praise, offering up incense before him, as you join your voice with theirs and offer up the incense of your prayers. You're clothed in the glorious and shining vestments of Jesus' perfect righteousness, named and anointed with his name, feasting on the sacrifice of the altar. So it is then that now you, by his mercy, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. You live as befitting a Christian. That is, you pray for one another and bear one another up in your burdens and tribulations. You tell people about Jesus and invite them to church. You believe the scriptures. Whether or not it makes sense to you is a hard saying, or you just plain don't like it. You believe by faith what God speaks to you in Christ. You gather where Jesus is and receive here the fruits of his glorious sacrifice. And when you feel overcome by the burdens and tribulations of this life, when you're caught up in yourself, when it feels as though Jesus isn't with you, come to where Jesus has, in fact, promised to be for you. Come to the church. For Jesus is here, as he promised in his word, declaring to you the paschal mystery of his suffering, death, and resurrection. He is here in the bloody waters of holy baptism, cleansing and forgiving you to make you his very own. Here in the absolution, restoring you once more to perfect communion with God and putting your sins as far away as the east is from the west. Here in his body and blood in the Holy Communion, that you may eat and drink of God's true Passover Lamb, who makes death sheathe its sword, and who fits and prepares you for your own Easter. Jesus is here for you, and it is necessary. For it is necessary that Jesus should be about his Father's things. He's the one to whom all these things, the liturgy and ceremonies, the vestments, incense, and sacrifice point. He's the one who gives power and reality to their promise, who gives his life to have you as his own. Why has Jesus treated you so? Have you earned it or deserved it? No. But he treats you so by grace, because he loves you. Thus the Epiphany season begins, as it will end, with Jesus setting his face toward Jerusalem for your sake. And it is necessary, for he is one of his Father's things, that you be one of his Father's children. In Jesus' name, amen.